the great Kahan Malakia Hawkins.
Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I praise Yahweh for another beautiful Sabbath. Once again, may I praise Yahweh. I know, yes, the Sabbath is very special because it's a weekly appointment, right? But it also is one Sabbath that is even closer to the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, that is how we have to look at it. One Sabbath closer to the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, I know this is what everyone is looking for at this time. Right? Everyone who Yahweh have called is looking forward for the kingdom of Yahweh at this time because of the kind of calamity we see going on in the world today. You know, the death and destruction that is coming upon, that man is bringing upon themselves. Now, one thing I would like to set straight before I continue. Now, don't think and say to yourself, it's not me, you know, he's speaking to. You know, is the brother that is sitting next to me, he's speaking to, or the sister that is sitting next to me, he's speaking to. Or the guy who is working with me, he's speaking to. Or the supervisor. No, I am speaking to you. Right? I am speaking to you. So don't, you know, exclude yourself from it. Now, the question to ask ourselves is, am I ready for the kingdom of Yahweh? That is what to ask ourselves. Am I ready for the kingdom of Yahweh? Or am I still falling short and overcoming? You know, that is the question to ask ourselves, because the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. You know, Yaakonandi and Musa and Yahshua preach the same message that our faithful teacher, Yisrael Hawkins, is preaching. The kingdom of Yahweh is at hand for us right now. Because this is the only time and the only opportunity that we will have to enter Yahweh's kingdom. This is the last work. We have to get that in our mind. This is the last work. It has nothing to come after this. Yisrael Hawkins is usher in Yahweh's kingdom. He is the one that Yahweh chose to finish this work. Now, let us just look over. Thank you, Bukhi Yahweh. Let us look over to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, where it say, "And let us make, and let them make me a sanctuary." When you look at the side note, it say, "A place to both offer sacrifice and to hear the Lord." So we see what the sanctuary is for. "That I may dwell amongst them according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacles and the pattern of all its furnishing." Now you're talking about the pattern. So what is the pattern? You know, what is the pattern? It says, "Make these things according to the pattern that was shown by Yahweh to Moshe." Let's look over to verse 36. Let's go up to verse 31. It said, Make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out, base and shaft," down to 36. It said, "The buds and the branches shall all be of one piece." Now that is a key scripture. That is something we have to understand. The bud and the branch have to be in one piece or in unity with the lampstand. It said, "Hammer out of pure gold," and this hammer means to bring into shape. Now the King James Version used the word beaten. All right, it used the word beaten. And this word beaten from Random House Dictionary, one of the meaning actually means to overcome. It actually means to overcome. But one thing we have to be very, very careful about when we are being hammered into shape, what we have to be very careful about, we don't get bent out of shape. Right? We have to be very careful we don't get bent out of shape, because this hammering is bringing us to that perfection. This hammering is bringing us just like Yahweh. But who is Yahweh? Who Yahweh is using to help us overcome? Right? I hope by the end of the sermon, you know, everyone will understand or see who Yahweh is really using. But basically, you know, the pattern is Genesis 1:26. That is the pattern, really. Right? You know, I will make man according to my image, according to my likeness. So, Yahshua already fulfilled that prophecy of that pattern, being like Yahweh. Remember Yahshua said, when you see me, you see the Father. Right? So basically that pattern is molding us into the image of Yahweh. That is the pattern. Yahweh is that pattern that each and every one of us, you know, is being molded into. Now the question is, what we have to look at also, what we have to also realize, this is the time to really start, you know, dotting our I's and crossing our T's. And as time is so short, time is so short, where our mind should be. Where our mind should be. Where our heart should be. Is it not pushing the work of Yahweh? Is it not striving to overcome sin? Is it not qualifying for the kingdom of Yahweh and being a helpful servant, willing to serve each other? Let's look over quickly to Yochanan, page 831. Page 831. Because you know, Yahshua showed us certain things. Now, what we have to remember is a qualification. We're trying to qualify in the kingdom of Yahweh. Yochanan 14, where it said, let not your heart be troubled. It said, you believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. And this is what Yahshua is speaking here. And remember, Yahshua said, he come to finish your work. Right? And Yahshua is not here on earth right now. So this work that Yahshua is finishing, Yahshua Hawkins is finishing. So when I say, believe also in me, believe also in Yahshua Hawkins. Because Yahshua Hawkins is the forerunner of Yahshua Messiah. You know, as I mentioned earlier on before, Yahshua is the only individual that qualifies. He's the only one that fulfilled the prophecy of making man in Yahweh's image and Yahweh's likeness. You know who the second person will be? That's right. Yahshua Hawkins will be the second son of Yahweh to qualify for that position. He will be the second individual. And the only way we can be part of that, we have to, you know, really hold fast to the teaching that comes from Yahshua Hawkins. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And this word mansion means offices. And this is what we are qualifying for. We are qualifying for an office in the kingdom of Yahweh. Say, if this was not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And this is the time that we are in right now. Yeshua is very close on the second coming. Right? He's very close. Now, this is what we are waiting on. Right? The second coming of Yeshua. Now, let us turn over to page 763. Because we are qualified for office in the kingdom of Yahweh. This is what you know, we have to keep in our mind. We are qualifying for this kingdom. Right? Yeshua said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, verse 4, Yohanan chapter 4, where it says, Yeshua speaking parables. Right? Over to verse 10, where it said, the reason Yeshua speaking parables, it said, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the great secret of the kingdom of Yahweh. Right? Unto us is been given to know the great secret of the kingdom of Yahweh. But let us look at one of the parables that Yeshua spoke about. Let us look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, from verse 14. He said, for the kingdom, and you know, this is how Yeshua speak. He always say, well, the kingdom of Yahweh is compared to this. The kingdom of Yahweh is like that. But he said, for the kingdom of Yahweh will be like a man going on a journey into a far country who summons, and this is call out. This summons mean call out. Yahweh have called us out and bring us to his house. Summons his own servant. And handed him portion and handed his portion over to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately went on his journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made with them 5 more talents. He who had received 2 did the same and also gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid the ruler's money. Now, further down to verse 20. Then he who had received 5 talents came forward and brought 5 other talents, saying, ruler, you handed me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5 other talents above those. His ruler said to him, well done, righteous and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Say, enter the joy of your ruler. And this word joy means kingdom. So it means enter into the kingdom. Right? Lower down where it say, verse 26. Because it had one individual who did nothing at all with the talent that his ruler gave him. Up to verse 24. He said, then he who had received 1 talent came forward and said, ruler, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and dug and hid your talent in the earth. So see, you have what belongs to you. His ruler answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. So we see exactly what this last individual did. Right? But what this parable is really speaking about? What Yeshua is coming back actually to see. Is he interested in the money? Nope, he's not interested in money. Yes, the work of Yahweh do need the money. So I'm not saying the house of Yahweh don't need the money, because the money, you know, it's spread the message of the kingdom of Yahweh. But what did Yahshua already come back to see? What this parable is really speaking about? Well, what Yahshua is coming back to see is how much their mind was in the work of Yahweh. That is what Yahshua is coming back to see. Whose mind is fully grounded in the work of Yahweh. Now, let's look over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. That's found on page 504. It said, a wise woman builds her house. It said, a wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman tear it down with her hand. Right? And this is what Yahshua is looking at. Who is really building the house of Yahweh? When you look at the side note G4, he said, that is, take pain to profit her family and to do that which concern her duty in her house. So we see exactly this individual mind is fully geared on the work of Yahweh. Now Yahweh is going to test us and try us to see, well, how much our mind is in the work of Yahweh. When we are tried by Yahweh, he is looking to see if we will choose to do what is right. Yahweh is not forcing us to live righteously. It doesn't prove that we will have that character of obedience to voluntarily, you know, obey Yahweh. And this is what we must prove to Yahweh before he will give us eternal life. And this is what, you know, the book of Eob. Eob had mentioned something like this. Let's turn over to Eob. That's found on page 427. Great reader. I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not lust after foolishness. Now, this foolishness is anything that will turn our minds and our heart away from Yahweh. This is the foolishness that Eob is speaking about. He said he would not lust after anything whatsoever that will turn his mind and his heart from Yahweh. He said, For what is man's portion from Yahweh above? And what is the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked? Is it not disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? Now that is when we are practicing righteousness, and also when we are falling short. And one person's shortcoming can bring out the shortcoming in another individual. One person's shortcoming can bring out the shortcoming in another individual. Now, this is a little scenario. It's same. Mr. Lambert, although a usually quiet-natured person, has a problem with patience. While his contractor, Mr. Peters, have a problem with being punctual. Mr. Lambert hired Mr. Peters to do a job at his home. They agree on a term. They agreed on the terms on the first day of the job. Mr. Peters was 10 minutes late. When he arrived, he explained that he was stuck in traffic because he did not anticipate the great amount of traffic. Mr. Lambert expressed his disappointment and explained the importance of being on time. Mr. Peters apologized humbly and promised not to let it occur again. The next day, Mr. Peters was 20 minutes late. As he came out of the car and approached Mr. Lambert, whose body language was not approachable, Mr. Lambert loudly shouted, "You are fired." Mr. Peters' unpunctuality triggered Mr. Lambert's lack of patience. So we see in this scenario, one person's shortcoming actually brings out the shortcoming in another individual. Now, some people might think and say, you know, the best way to deal, to deal with this situation is, okay, I can't deal with this individual. The best thing to do, is go somewhere else and work. Ask for a transfer to go on another crew. But guess what? That little friend of yours, that little, whatever you want to call it, your friend, your spy, your buddy, that little friend of yours is going to follow you. Right? That little friend of yours is going to follow you. If, whatever you may call it, it may be hateful, it may be hatred, unforgiven, revenge, aggression, whatever negative trait that you have, it's going to follow you. So that is not the way to solve that problem. Now, the choice is ultimately yours. Would you allow the shortcoming of others to bring out the worst in you? To cause you to stumble at your own weakness? In Proverbs 24:10, it said, if you falter in the day of adversity, your strength is very little. Right? And this word adversity means your trials and your testing. Right? You say if you're faulting that, you say your strength is very little. And we have all the tools to build our strength. We have all the tools, the peaceful solution, character education. We have every single thing. The peaceful solution, one of the units say that no one could cause you to be angry. You don't have any control of what people say or do. The only thing you have control over is how you respond. And this is what Yahweh is looking at. How you respond to another individual's shortcoming. This is what Yahweh is going to look at. How you respond at it. You say, or will you choose to rise above the obstacles and to use them as building blocks to develop your character? What are you going to do? Right? What are you going to do? When we humble ourselves to our brothers or sisters' shortcoming, who are we humbling ourselves to? Are we humbling ourselves to them? No, we are not. We are not humbling ourselves to them. The person who we are humbling ourselves is to Yahweh. That is who we are humbling ourselves to. We are humbling ourselves to Yahweh. And when you look at Jacob chapter 4 verse 10, it said, humble yourself in the sight of Yahweh and he will lift you up. So we actually know, well, who is the one that we are humbling ourselves to? When we come to that judgment seat and we are being judged, we can't use no excuse whatsoever. Well, Yahweh is this individual. That's it. You can't use any excuse whatsoever. You have to answer for yourself. Why did you act in that kind of manner? Right? The kingdom of Yahweh is very, very short. Very, very short at hand. Where our mind should be. Are we still fooling around? Wasting time? What pastor told us? He said by Passover we can see things start to occur. Are we going to wait until we actually see things taking place and then try, to clean our act up? This is the time. This is the time we have, and the time is very short. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, every individual will like to qualify, for the kingdom of Yahweh. And this is what Pastor told us. Pastor said he would like every individual, to be with him. Right? So whatever we need to overcome in our lives, let us strive diligently and try to overcome these things. Right? Because pastor don't want to lose any individual, because Satan is like a roaring lion. I know when a lion is hunting, what parts of the body of the animal the lion usually goes for? Well, that's right, the truth. Right? It usually goes for the truth. Because when that lion get a grip on that truth, she knows, well, look, she is in full control. So let us don't let the adversary, you know, do anything or waver our minds so we leave the house of Yahweh. Right? So let us stand fast. Let us believe in the one sent. And let us stand with him, and let us don't let our mind waver in any form or fashion. So with this, will you all please stand? I'd like to present to you future priest Abba Shalom Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If you could all turn over to page 513 in the book of Yahweh, Proverbs 26. Now the title of my speech today is to think twice about your actions now so you won't get the wrong reaction. Okay? Now, Proverbs 26, and I'll be looking at verse 2. It says, as a fluttering sparrow or a flying swallow will alight, a curse causeless will not come. Okay? Remember that. Now turn over to page 811. It's Luke 23. Luke 23, and this is whenever Yahshua was on the stake and there was two people hanging beside him. And one of them was insulting Yahshua and trying to tear him down. But the other one, he was building Yahshua up. And he rebuked the criminal. And he said in verse 41, Luke 23, verse 41, he said, for us this represents justice. For we receive the due reward for our action, or the reaction for our action. But this man has done nothing wrong. Now, the definition of react in Webster's, okay, it means to exert reciprocal or counteracting force or influence. Now, reaction means a response to some treatment, situation, or stimulus, okay? A response to some treatment, situation, or stimulus. For example, if someone steps on your toe, the reaction to that would probably be, ow! Okay? Now, if you could turn over to page 888. It's 1 Corinthians 3. Now, this is whenever Shaul was speaking to the Corinthians, and there was people saying about how I was baptized by this apostle. And others were saying, I was baptized by this apostle. And Shaul, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8, he said, now he who plants and he who waters are one, okay? And each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. He who plants and he who waters. So if you plant a seed and you take care of it and you water it, that plant's most likely going to grow into a plant as the reaction or the reward for your labor. Now, we can see examples of this in the book of Yahweh. For example, if you can turn over to page 405. Now, this is the example I'm about to show you here is an example that, if it wasn't controlled, could have turned into a big turmoil. Page 405, this is Hadassah 1. Now, in verse 10, it's talking about how on the seventh day, the king was in high spirits because of the wine, and he was having a feast. And he commanded the people who served him to bring, in verse 11, to bring Queen Vashti before the king's presence wearing the crown of the kingdom, so he might display her beauty to the people and to the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. And then this is the action here. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command delivered by his eunuchs. So she disobeyed the king's command. She disobeyed the instruction. And then this is the reaction. The king got upset. Okay? And the king has a lot of power for the king to get upset. And then, so he started to counsel with the people in his kingdom who knew the laws, who knew the laws of his kingdom. And in verse 19, well, they were talking about how if they didn't stop it, well, it would become bigger. And it would end up being to where if the wives heard about it, then they would start disobeying their husbands. And it would be a big turmoil. In verse 19, this is what occurred. Now, if it says, if it pleases the king, let a royal decree be sent from him, and let it be recorded in the laws of the Medes and Persians, that it might not be changed or altered in any way. So it's the law here that Vashti will never again be brought into the presence of King Xerxes. So she was never allowed to see the king's face again. And it says, and let her royal position as queen of the empire be given to another who is better than she. So she got replaced, and she also was never allowed to come into the presence of the king. Okay, for disobedience. Now, there's another example. You can read it on your own time. You can also go back and read the whole book of Hadassah, because there's many of these examples in there. And then 1 Samuel chapters 2, 3, and 4, you can write it down for your notes. And you can read it on your own time. 1 Samuel chapters 2, 3, and 4. That's another example. But we can see these examples in our everyday lives. For example, if you have a smile on your face, and you're joyful, and you're not all down and depressed, well, everyone around you is most likely to be joyful and to be uplifted. But if you have a sour look and you're down, well, everyone around you is most likely to be down and depressed. But if you're a teacher, if you're polite and respectful to the children and to the people you're teaching, well, one way you can teach is by our example. So the children are going to pick up on that. And they're going to start to be polite and respectful to you. And they're going to show that back to you. But if you're constantly yelling at them and tearing them down, well, that's what they're going to learn. And they're going to pick up on that. And they're going to show it back to you. And you're not going to like that. And if you go out into the world and you start hitting people, and you, that could go into a fight and can actually end up losing your life. Okay, so this is why it's important to treat others the way that we would like to be treated. You can turn over to Matthias 7. And verse 12. Now this is whenever it's entitled, "Ask and you will receive." And Yahshua is talking about how if one man is there among you, for his son asks for bread, you would give him a stone. Or if he asked for a fish, you would give him a serpent. Then it says, Then you being sinful, know how to give righteous gifts to your children. Verse 12, it says, "Therefore, all things you want men to do to you, do the same to them. For this is the teaching of the law and the prophets. Be considerate, be respectful. Treat them the way that you would want to be treated." Out in the world, they call this the golden rule. Okay? And it's also important, this ties in with the STOP acronym here. The STOP acronym. Okay? To stop, think, consider your options, then to proceed with the right choice. Okay? Now, in the respect unit, it talks about the STOP acronym on page 120. And but to stop back on him, to stop your thought process, think, consider your options, think about the pros and cons, as they say, the positive and the negative side of it, and what the outcome could be, or the reaction could be of your options. What the outcome would be. Because it says, stop and acknowledge that what someone is saying and doing, you feel is disrespectful. Think about the different ways you can respond. Options, they must be considered in a way to remember that without self-control, negative feelings can lead to negative actions. And then it says, it is up to you to consider the possible outcome of your choices. And then proceed by making a decision that is morally correct and respectful. Okay? Now, if we keep doing this, if we keep practicing the right choice and make the right choice, well, if you can turn over to page 986, this is what's going to be the outcome. 986. This is Revelations 22, verse 12. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work will be." And it says, "I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Verse 14, "Blessed are those who keep his laws." This is the action here. "Blessed are those who keep his laws." Okay, keeping the laws of Yahweh. And then this is the reaction. "They may have right to the tree of life and enter into the gates into the city." So you'd have right to the kingdom of Yahweh, to the tree of life. Okay? And that's the reaction if we keep coming to the classes, becoming as gold and striving for perfection, not giving up now because we're almost there. And with that, if you would please stand. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If you'd please stand, I'd now like to turn it over to the only one who has this source of knowledge at this time, the greatest teacher in the world, Pastor Yisroel Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. We've got a crowd here today. I didn't expect it. It's cold outside. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. I love you. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. To you, great overseer Yisroel Hawkins, thank you for your consideration. Beautiful. Will Yahweh be with each and every one of you? May the peace of Yahweh be with you. We got a beautiful, warm sanctuary here that I'm very thankful for. We have no water. I'm thankful for that too. I think it's telling us what we need. You know, we didn't have any trouble with our bathrooms freezing up when I was a child. No problem at all with that. You know, we two outdoor Johns and no water to freeze. Didn't have any in the house either to freeze. And I think we'd be wise to get a bunch of these here just in case. Don't worry about food. The cooks told me yesterday, said, "Don't worry about it. We got jugs of water already. We got jugs of water to store it up here to use. Nobody's going to go hungry or thirsty." I said, "Praise Yahweh. That's thinking ahead." I need to start somewhere else here. Oh, here it is. Here it is. This is the story that the papers are running, if I can get it to where you can see it. The news is running. They said so. The reason for so many of these news medias wanting our stories had something to do with a book that someone wrote, and when they saw that it was this book was about me, and then they saw the news articles that I was putting out, they jumped on them, and Balaam, Yahweh has a way of turning the curses around. made us well known there with all the TV shows and everything, made us real well known. Israel Hawkins says Hollywood lifestyle causing untold suffering in new publication. Now, of course, what we're seeing in this is in this extreme cold weather that everybody's crying about. This is some of the result that of the global warming that's taking place. And yes, the weather is out of control. Everything is out of control right now, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better anyway soon, and then. You're going to see this. This story right here is has already been printed. Now, this was early this morning. It was released 2/7/2014, and today, 41,977 news agencies ran it. So we are reaching the world. Now, that's just here in the United States. This is running globally, too. Yes, around the world, they're picking it up and running it. The Arizona News was one that ran it. I would have had the readers. Well, they have a bunch of readers. I'm not sure that's the readers, though. I'll find out. American Public Media, Cincinnati.com, that's just a few. Caesar has his problems, and they're going to get worse. Ours is going to get better. The beautiful vision I saw of Yahweh Shammai, and what Yahweh had prepared, or Yahshua is preparing, for his house right now, is it would make you forget all your troubles, and just to see it and know that we're headed in that direction. Kick out those who sexually abuse children, UN panel tells Vatican. Now, this is the UN. The UN is turning against what the Pope and the Vatican is doing. The Vatican is the one that sits on seven hills, whose priests eat pork, as Isaiah 65 shows. They follow the priest who eats pork. And Isaiah 66:17 shows they're the ones that's going to be consumed. Revelation 18 shows the same thing because of their sins. Their sins are reaching into heaven, and yes, that's what's causing the mass upset with the weather and everything else. It says, this was published on CNN, in an unprecedented report, the United Nations Committee slammed the Vatican. The Vatican's handling of child sexual abuse within the Catholic Church and accused the Church of protecting itself rather than the victims. You remember the Pope is always going around saying, we need to pay more attention to the poor, the needy. you know, well, through the other side of his tongue, you know, he's condemning the UN for even criticizing the rapist that's housed in the Vatican, and of course throughout the whole world. The Vatican should establish, it says, an independent medianism of monitoring children's rights to investigate complaints and work with law enforcement, according to the report, which was released Wednesday. It called for the church to immediately remove all known suspected abusers from its ranks. Now, here's they showed some pictures in this of some of them. And, of course, that's Francis there with his head down. I don't know what he's looking at, but he's got his head down. Supposedly looking holy. Cardinals gather despite abuse scandals. They go ahead and gather in spite of this. They're kind of looking sheepish, a little bit sheepish, looks like. New evidence of church sex scandal. It says clerics have been involved in the sexual abuse of tens of thousands of children, the report says, and the United Nations is concerned about how the Vatican has handled the allegations. Well, what they've done, it said in another article, they've moved the priest to another location to get some fresh children for them. Vatican blast. Now the Vatican comes back and blasts back at UN report on pedophilia, priest abortion, and abortion. Vatican City. Now, you got to get this because they're not going to even negotiate, and they tell them this. Vatican City, the Vatican blasts back at a UN authored rights of children report, saying its criticism of the church stand, some of this is blocked out, maybe it's of homosexuality, is driven by critics of the church's non-negotiable teachings. Non-negotiable teachings. We're not going to talk to you at all about what we practice. That's what they're saying. Of course, you know, they follow the gods. They're universal. They do not criticize their gods. They do not lambast them for people that are practicing what they permit. And one of their gods, as I brought out in newsletters recently, read those newsletters. You really need to read those newsletters. He permits raping children. He teaches it. One of their gods. Their gods. Satan says, sin, and you will be like the gods. That's the Genesis, the third chapter. That's what they're doing. They chose to follow the gods instead of Yahweh. And Satan says, be like the gods. Do this. Has Yahweh said this? Oh, you're not going to die. Come on, be like the gods. You'll enjoy this, and you'll live. You'll live forever with it. Well, a lot of people are living with the sickness and disease that it brings, too, as I'll show you in just a moment. The UN Committee on the Rights of the Child, whose members have included such nations as Saudi Arabia, Syria, Uganda, Thailand accused the Vatican Wednesday of systematically adapting policies that allow priests to rape and molest tens of thousands of children. This is FoxNews.com if you want to pull it up and read it. The other was CNN. He did not note that the irony, he did not note that the irony of nations like Syria, which has used poison gas on children, Uganda, where kids have been I guess that's forced, part of it's blocked out, forced to fight, kill and die in wars. And Thailand, which has long been accused of tolerating child sex trade. The UN report also severely criticized the Holy See for its attitude towards homosexuality, contraceptions, abortion, and said they should change, it should change its own canon law. Well, they already changed it. Now you want them to change it again? They should change this law. They're not following it. The report gives hope to the hundreds of thousands of deeply wounded and still suffering clergy sex abuse victims across the world. It says the Catholic officials are either incapable or unwilling to solve this problem. From New York to California, well, this is the results now of the what comes from sin. What's causing the upsets in the weather is the same thing that's causing the sickness and disease. The sickness and disease to take place all over the land. In fact, the sickness and disease is getting into the land. And for those who are working on, I know some of our young priests are working on the microorganisms and of course, how Yahweh created man and created the earth in one day and so forth. Microorganisms that Yahweh put Adam to guard and keep. He said, because you have done this, he tells this to you, he tells it to everyone. And what's taking place in these last days is what we see from what he told Adam. He said, because you have done this now, the land will no longer yield its strength to you. The land, speaking of the microorganisms, they won't yield to you their full strength anymore. There's some that will keep obeying, not knowing, like the crowds, not knowing, but some are going to stop yielding their strength to you. And of course, that's what you saw take place. And then the earth, the more sin, the more the microorganisms feared. They feared the disease that comes with the sins that wrecked their kingdoms. And this is what you're seeing in the atmosphere, or firmament, as it's called in the King James Version, the firmament where bacteria causes rain. Well, what's taking place now is they're no longer yielding their strength, and the more sin, the less strength they will yield to satisfying you with your former and latter rains. That's what the scripture calls it. From New York, New Jersey, Kansas, all declared states of emergency. Mississippi, too, facing severe freezing. Freezing rain and inches of ice also declared a state of emergency. They have their electricity knocked out. Of course, these people, a lot of them, you know, have their houses heated by electricity. And here they have a severe cold spell. Now, I know that, you know, this is like war. They're suffering, but we're not in another location. We're not suffering, so who cares? So, but this will get everyone's attention eventually. It hasn't covered the whole earth yet, no. But it's going to. That's what the prophecy shows. The same prophecy showed you that knowledge would be increased in this time period, in this generation. Remember that. The same prophet showed you that. So you think they're lying, you won't for long. You're going to see this thing spread big time. Governors across the region plead with citizens to stay home, stay off the roads, as Nikki's winter mix created dangerous conditions. New York closed off all of Interstate 84, closing down the highways. Mother Nature is totally out of control. Mother Nature, they call it. That is the new norm. Now, that's the new norm for the global warming, for the weather, the result of sin. That's the result of sin. Extreme weather, they're calling it. That's the new norm, extreme weather. Now they're having a salt shortage, using it all up on the streets. Hundreds of thousands were out of power Wednesday morning, particularly Pennsylvania, where over 700,000 were affected. Punishing drought. California has been ravaged by a punishing drought. Yes, the firmament is refusing to yield its strength to California, but not just California. There's a famine that is spoken of here by the prophets. Without water, you can't raise food. That brings famine. So one thing causes another. Punishing drought for more than a year that could become the worst in the state's history. Rocking farmers and ranchers who are struggling to keep crops and livestock alive. For the first time, the state will shut down the state water project, which supplements millions of water supplies. And these are water supplies that's raising food that goes out to the world. There is a little forecast of natural relief for the state. The federal government is currently reviewing a $644 million emergency aid bill to help mitigate the effects. I don't know what that might be, whether it's saltwater... trying to use the salt water or trying to dig wells or what. One of our men sent me a sign, and what did I do with it? It was a sign that was in a window. And I know they gave it to me. Here it is. This is a sign I wanted you to see. It says, one student in store at a time, unless with parents. Now, this is a local store. This was seen here. Down the road from us, Clyde, a business. And so when he checked out, he said, what's with this sign in the window? And the person said, because of theft. They said, the students are ganging up. They come into the store. They take whatever they want, and they run out all at once. So nobody sees what they got. Nobody knows who got what. So they can't testify in court. And who knows who they are anyway. Now, this was reported on World News. Is also reported several times on RT, that's Russia Today, and CNN. But this is taking place now. Taking place now all over the world, I guess, but big time here in the States. It hasn't been too long that one of our deacons gave some information on that. I remember back when I was 36 years old, I believe it was, the cost of shoplifting in the stores, they had to mark the price up, I believe it was 15% in the stores to pay for shoplifting at that time. I think it's much higher than that at this time. But that's the result of the Pope and, of course, his refusing to turn from sin. I'm not the only one that's trying to get him to do it now. The UN is trying to get at least a portion of this changed. Praise Yahweh. But this sign, it shows you what the world has come to. And, of course, the problems that they're having with what they have done to their own children. Their own children are turning against them now, and of course, they don't know what to do. So they're limiting them to one child at a time, unless you're accompanied by your parents. And by the way, the man said, well, are the parents stealing too? The person said, you said it, I didn't, but thank you. So, you know, we've raised a generation that we can't live with. That's what they've done. Their sins are telling on them now. On the world news, they have a doctor. The people didn't know who, they didn't have the name. They this morning didn't have the news clipping with them, so they couldn't tell me the name of the doctor. But the woman asked the doctor what causes cancer. He said, we are the cause of our own sicknesses. Now, I thought this was great that they're finally admitting this, that they are the cause of their own sickness. Now, he went ahead, they said, and talked about cigarettes causing cancer. And I said, what about all the people that don't smoke and they have, say, cervical cancer? Now, I know you got to be an idiot if you don't know what cervical cancer is and what it causes it now, because of many publications, and I brought out about 40 years ago what was causing cervical cancer. And it's women having multiple lovers, they call it. That's what the doctors call it. It makes no difference whether you smoke or not. Maybe it could cause lung cancer, I don't know. Maybe it has a effect on it anyway. But we do know that STDs causes cervical cancer in men and women. Now, if you're not a complete idiot, you should be able to figure out that it's not too hard for STDs to get into any and every organ in your body. Your lungs, your brain, everything. And when you start acting like an idiot and you don't know where you put your toothpaste, you don't know where the medicine cabinet is, you don't even know where the bathroom is anymore, you can get in this kind of shape from an STD that has entered your brain. But this guy at least said we're causing our own cancers. We're causing our own sickness. What we're doing is causing this. This newsletter that I put out that I showed you a while ago, that Hollywood is causing a lot of this because they're teaching not only fornication, adultery, bestiality, but they're making sodomy look great in the movies from Hollywood. Well, of course, Hollywood is owned by the Catholic Church. And they're going to teach the children. They're going to teach all the adults, too. They're doing it here in America big time. You know, it's in every home that this is coming to. And of course, this is being taught. A lot of people are still resisting it, but their crowd is growing. And, of course, they're organized. I want you to look over to Proverbs 26, and I want to show you this. What we're doing is just what Yahweh said we're doing to cause this. The things that we're doing to cause the rain to stop, to cause the global warming, to cause sickness and disease, they're all tied together. And the microorganisms that bring our crops, that we must have to grow crops. They're in the soil. They produce what the fruit trees need to bear fruit. STDs attack these bacteria that they're helpers to mankind. They attack them. They kill them. And they're caused by sin. Now, when Yahweh said to Adam, because you have done this, Adam, the microorganisms will not yield their strength to you anymore. Their full strength will not be yielded to you anymore. And the land will start growing thorns and thistles. Are there microorganisms that would prevent that? Yes, there is. And the State Board of Agriculture know this. They know what causes thorns and thistles, and they know how to get rid of them. But they choose instead a poison that comes from STDs to kill the thorns and thistles and pollute the land even more. Well, here in the same prophets, of course, the same writers, that said that the knowledge would be increased for this generation. Try to top that one. Try to get around what that says. You can't do it. The new knowledge, the increase in knowledge, started in 1934. 1934. Read my newsletters. We put out the facts in there. Absolute facts showing you. 1934. The same date the last witness was born. It started at that time, just like prophecy said it would. These prophets said, curses don't just come without a cause. Read it for yourself. Proverbs 26, snow in summer? Why did he mention that in rain? During harvest? Why would he mention this? Rather appropriate for our time period, wouldn't you think? Snow in summer and rain and during harvest. It's kind of out of shape, right? Wouldn't you say? It's a extreme to have snow in the summertime. Or rain when they gripe about the rain coming just when they need to get in the fields to get their cotton or their wheat. And the farmers say to the news media, they say, you know, well, you sure got a big, a nice looking field of wheat. Yeah, the problem has been for the last few years getting it out of the field. Oh, what are you talking about? Because the rains come just when we need to get it out of the field. So this is what he's talking about here, Proverbs. They were suffering from sins in Israel at that time. In fact, the land was trying to vomit them out, get rid of them, saying, get out of here. We don't want you to be around us anymore. The microorganisms yielded to Yahshua. That authority is promised to you. With that authority, you will be able to raise the dead. We could sit back and get mad and angry at the doctors, at the scientists, at the Pope. They kill my daddy. They kill mine too. What difference does it make? How many daddies do you think they kill throughout the world so far? Yes, they kill my mother too. That should make me equally as revengeful. I'm not at all revengeful. If you had sense of the gods, even, you would know that they know that what you're doing right here in the house of Yahweh is going to bring an end to their God worship. That's why I was called. That's why I was prophesied to be named in 1934. Yes, Yahweh called my name in 1934. He said it was Him that did it. We're going to change this. That's the reason I'm here preaching now. I could, if I was a mind to, which I'm not and never will be. I've never been vengeful because I was taught from a child that it doesn't help. That it only makes things worse. That's what Yahweh showed to Cain. What you're doing, Cain, is continual war. This is going to bring continual war. This was shown in the first four chapters of Genesis. Have you never read the first four chapters of Genesis? Then why are you angry, Cain? Because they killed my daddy. Because they killed my brother. Because they killed my mother. Yes, I've had all that occur in my life. Because they took my family away from me. Yes, they did. But no, I'm not vengeful. I'm not vengeful at the man that spit in my face, the person that hit me with their fist, because I was preaching the peaceful solution and they didn't like it. I rejoice in it. Those are badges of honor to me. But I could grab a gun and I could go shooting and I could kill, some doctors before they kill me. What benefit is this? This is stupider than the first one that operated on my dad. This is the system that started way back with Cain, and all the world has gone the way of Cain, and Yahweh said to Cain, all you're doing is setting up continual war with what you're chosen here. And you've chosen a curse that's going to come upon all the world here, you and your daddy Adam. You think your daddy didn't sin? He was a part of it too. Yes, he contributed to this system. Think your mother didn't sin? We all sinned. Except for one person, Yeshua Messiah, who came and died to pay for those sins. Well, here now, he says, snow in summer? It looks like the weather's a little bit mixed up, doesn't it? Rain during harvest is as fitting as honor for a fool. He put it pretty bluntly, but true. As a flattering sparrow, a flittering sparrow or a flying swallow will alight, so curse causeless will not come. Did you get that? A curse's got to be caused. There's a cause for a curse. That's what he's saying. What you're doing is causing the curse. Do not answer a fool. Verse 4, look at that. Do not answer a fool with folly, or you will be just like him. Need to paste that on your bathroom mirror. Don't take revenge. Don't try to revenge yourself. Look over to Isaiah. Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah. He wrote a lot of stuff concerning us. And the instruction he gave us is so fabulous. Not like the instruction we're given today. It's even more remarkable than what Isaiah wrote, because it's coming straight from Yahweh at a time when we need it the most. To the law and to the prophecy, verse 20. Isaiah 8, verse 20. To the law and to the prophecy. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That's a fact that you can stand on. Yahweh's work is prophesied. In the last days, I will establish my house. Well, who is he going to have establish it? He gives you a name. He named him before he was born. He says, I'm the one that named you, though you didn't even know it was me that did it. He named me through this man right here that wrote this for me, the Father. Yes, it's Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And they will pass through, talking about these people that are suffering from snow and winter and so forth. They will pass through darkness, hard-pressed and hungry. Hard-pressed and hungry. I guess if you depended on your electricity and your electricity goes down, and they're saying now they may run out of fuel totally, and they jump the price up to keep people from burning too much. Well, that makes sense, don't it? It makes more sense that they jumped the price so they could put more money in their pocket. And it will come to pass. Maybe we should get guns. No, 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 no. No, not ever. Not ever. Do not ever even think that. And it will come to pass when they are hungry that they will be enraged. They will be enraged and they will curse. Well, they had something to get mad about. Why are you angry, Cain? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you so bitter? That they will be enraged and they will curse their king and their gods. What are they doing right now with the Pope? They have nothing better to do, you know. They're filled with sins themselves. Their mind is confused. All of their minds are carrying confusion. So, of course, they want to fight or take revenge out on anybody or anything. The Pope right now is not the ones that this started this. It was Adam and Satan that started this system. And everybody has become a part of this system down through the ages except Yahshua Messiah. He would not yield to it. And now Yahweh is training us so we won't yield to it. Not ever. But they'll curse their gods and look up for help. Then they will look to the earth and behold trouble and darkness, trouble. The microorganisms will not yield their strength anymore. They will cut it off totally. So they're going to see darkness and gloom and anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness, thrust into thick darkness. Yahweh sent us a message this week, and I won't have time to cover it all, but I do want you to know that Yahweh is alert to everything that's going on. There was some snow, as you know, snow and ice. The lands were slick, everything was slick and icy, and one of the loving women that we have a house full of, helpful, loving, helpful women. Yes. Praise Yahweh. We have loving, helpful men, too. Many of them. While you were getting ready for services or maybe having a cup of coffee, I had some of my children, five of them, fixing busted water lines. So y'all could have water. Isn't that beautiful? Last night, many of them were working. And then I saw my son, Buffalo Bill, enter the stage, and that gave me joy. His dad is my son, too. But, but these are my children. All of you are. If you're here, you're my children. I'm your daddy, and they're not going to kill your daddy anymore. That's a scripture. I'm not speaking that on my own. Anyway, this loving woman went to get a person to take her to get a meal that needed help to walk. So she got there. The thing was slick, so she went back and got some salt and threw it out to thaw the ice. And in just a few minutes, somebody came by, not her, but someone else, and said, what are these Hebrew letters here? Now, this was where salt was scattered over ice, real white, snowy ice and snow. And lo and behold, here was a Hebrew letters lined up just like someone had written them. They took pictures. Can you see them? You can tell they're Hebrew if you know anything about Hebrew. Well, of course, they took the pictures, and so I put the team to work to find out what they meant. The images in these photographs show to be the Hebrew word, gives you the Hebrew word here, kedaya. Kedaya. This word is from the Hebrew word, root word, kod. The Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jethro, Volume 1, page 425, shows the meaning of this word, actually, quote, scripture, that are said in the law of Yahweh in what is called the New Testament. Imagine being in trouble. Imagine someone hating you and wanting to kill you. Now, imagine also you've been called, and Yahweh is preparing for you a house. And he's also preparing you for a house, his kingdom. The kingdom of Yahweh and the house of Yahweh is one and the same. This is the kingdom of Yahweh in training right now, right here. Praise Yahweh. Now, Yahweh put his people through a lot of things in order to test them. He says, I've given you these laws, and I'm going to test you to see whether what you can overcome and what you can't. Check your limitations. And of course, he puts trials and tests in front of us for that reason. But this one is a severe test. And I don't want you to ever have to go through this, but if you do, it's because Yahweh wants to prove to heaven that you can do it and stand strong and know that it's He that is guiding you and putting you through the test. It's Him preparing you for the kingdom. Now, this word, this letter, what it actually means, even if a sharpened sword is laid on one's throat, one must not despair of praying for divine mercy. Know that Yahweh knows what you need. And you got to get that in your head and know, trust in Yahweh that He is preparing you for the future, to be a part of His kingdom. Yeshua said, I could have prayed for help. Don't you realize by now? Haven't you seen what I've done? Don't you realize by now that I could call for squadrons of Malachim to come and fight if I wanted to do that? Now get it in your mind that He is your example. Not someone who is filled with vengeance and anger. No, that's not taught in the scriptures. Yeshua taught the perfect unity with Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. He not only taught it, he lived it. So this letter right here, it actually means this. Here's what you should have in mind. Then Yeshua said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments. You can train your mind to do this without going through the test. I told you what I was put through so far. And I said, whatever Yahweh, whatever you will. And I mean that. I mean, whatever Yahweh wills, I'm willing. And that's what you've got to become. You've never seen any retaliation out of me at all. Never. And you won't see any retaliation from me. I will not yield. I will not yield to the gods or to Satan. And when you do this, when you retaliate, when you let Satan make you angry, then you become like the gods. And you go to war. She pulls you into war. The second letter here is quoting Deuteronomy 6:7, that the words of the law be ever ready in thy mouth. Now, of course, the law teaches you don't revenge, don't hold a grudge, don't hate someone, don't hate a person. The system is what is wrong. The God worship, the system of God worship that Satan talked Adam into, then Cain went into it full force. He's the killer. He was used as an instrument of the gods to murder, to start revenge to working. But revenge has never solved anything. You don't see any problem solved by the world today, and they're all following revenge. Nothing but. And they're set up to not only to take revenge against anyone who defies them in any way. They're set up to take revenge against them and take what they want through their want to fulfill their lust, which is their land and wealth. That's what the Catholic Church has always taught. And of course, it's in history that the popes would say, come on, we'll take their land, we'll take their wealth, and we'll divide it among ourselves, and you'll be rich and have all kinds of land and prosperity, and this was all promised. Of course, this is a thing that you've got to guard against, and this is in this message that was shown to these women the other day. Not only the one who sprinkled the salt and came back later. In fact, they went and got her and brought her to show it, and she took the pictures. Rhea Shekinah is a wonderful woman. That the words of the law may be ever ready in thy mouth, King James Version, and you must teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit and when in the house and when you talk, walk on the road, and when you lie down and when you rise up. First Kepha, but sanctify Yahweh, our Father, in your heart, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. With humbleness and reverence. The next one, to be well studied, ready at hand, to he recited his lesson is lesson well. Study to show yourself approved unto Yahweh. I missed something here that I wanted to bring out. One's throat. Don't beg for mercy. Take what Father Yahweh wants you to have. Ready in answering questions. Well-versed, quick to perceive. That the words of the law may be ever ready in your mouth. That's against revenge. Oh, it's a scripture. I forgot. There's many scriptures that go with this. I was thinking it was in this sign. But anyway, this is what is in this sign for us. Now, this is meaningful right now. And Yahweh is teaching you. I think he's putting the finishing touch on his people is what I think. That he's beginning you right now to where if you had to, you could face the stake like Yahshua did. And you would know that it is Yahweh's will that you did so. I don't think any of you are going to have to go through that. I think you're further enough along. I do. I think that. And I'm telling Yahweh how wonderful you are. And, of course, I have an adversary that is opposing me. I have an adversary that the Scripture says is opposing me on everything I say and do, but I'm going before Yahweh's courts of heaven for you every day. I see the progress that you have made in the past 40 years. I see the progress that the newcomers have made, and they're making it quickly. I notice that they're really growing. I see the progress that our children are going through. You know, when you see your children at work and doing the work of a slave, a servant, that's what Yahshua put himself to. He put himself in the hands of Yahweh and said, whatever your will is. And he didn't resist. He didn't fight back. Don't teach your children karate to defend themselves. And don't teach them to fight at all. Teach them to be like Samuel. Let Yahweh fight the battles. You study the word. You study the word and become perfect like Yahshua. That's your job. Your job is not to carry a sword or a gun and be revengeful to anyone. It's not to destroy bank buildings. It's not to destroy any buildings at all. Your job is to let me bring you to perfection with these words. Now, if you could right now, if somebody put a gun to your head, you could beg them for mercy. I would not. I would say, Yahweh, your will be done. I'll see you in heaven. I know that if you die, I will be able to resurrect you. I know that I'll be able to resurrect my dad, my mother, your dad, your mother. We'll resurrect all of those people, and we'll give them a chance to work in Yahweh's kingdom. Yes, all of them. Don't be revengeful. Be like Yahshua. Your will be done, not my own. There is no place in all the scriptures that teaches you in these last days to bear a sword or bear revenge or bear a grudge, to be hateful and envious, evil with your brothers and sisters. There's nothing that teaches you that in the scriptures. It teaches you that I'm your friend. Yes, I am your friend. When I teach you and correct you, it's because I love you and I want you with me in that kingdom. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.